scripture reading, and it's going to be up on the board. Actually, our scripture reading is going to be Romans 8, chapter 1, I mean, verses 1 through 8. Amen. The subject we're dealing with tonight is overcoming the impact of subtle influences. Amen. Overcoming the impact of subtle influences, and we're getting a little more involved with that as we go along. Amen. As everyone understands, our scripture reading will be verses 1 through 8 of Romans chapter 8. And this is a subject that actually God's been dealing with me for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And you know, I tried to do just a little more research. I used a lot of the teachings from Bishop G.T., the late Bishop G.T. Haywood, in this preparation, as well as some of the other apostolic fathers, and true apostolic fathers, bishops, that have been teaching, because one of the spirits that the devil likes to use against the church is the spirit of deception. Amen. So we're going to do our scripture reading, then we'll get right into this. Amen.
Amen.
We don't have a lot of time, so I got to take the wings of an eagle.
Fly.
Amen. First one reads,
therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. And the church said, the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
And the church said, the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Yes, indeed. And truly tonight, you know, we get as far with this as we can. But like I said, for the last probably 4 weeks, this is a subject that the Lord has been dealing with me about how the devil likes. Can we say fly under our spiritual radar?
Fly under our spiritual radar.
Can we say fly under?
Fly under
our spiritual radar.
Our spiritual radar.
And that's one of the tactics he likes to use. He likes to go low so he cannot be detected. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what makes it a subtle influence.
Right.
He flies low and he cannot be detected. And one of the things that has made the United States Army and Air Force so successful is they fly under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. One of the tactics that you have to be able to use to defeat your enemy, whoever they might be, is you have to be able to attack them before they know it.
Right.
Well, that's what the devil tends to do to us and in the church. Amen. He flies under the radar, but we can detect that he's doing what he's doing. That's what makes it a subtle influence. Right. Subtle in the sense that he's doing it and we are not aware of it. Amen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When one of the F-117, didn't joke about all this stuff, this was one of the first stealth fighters that they used. And we were able to conquer so many because they flew below radar. Well, that's one of the things that the devil tries to do to the church, get us complacent, amen, to the point that we're not spiritually in tune to what he's trying to do. Now, the Bible said the Lord created the earth in 5 days, and then on 6 days he created man, and we know that's not the 24-hour day, but Nevertheless, he created all in 5 days. On the sixth day, he created man.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Just make sure somebody's here besides me. Amen. So on the sixth day, he created man, and he created woman. For the first 5 days, his creation, he said it was good.
Mm-hmm.
On the sixth day, when he looked at the creation, he said it was
very good.
Very good. Amen. Just like us, when we first got saved, we were good. But the longer we saved, God filled with the Holy Ghost, we became
very, very good.
I said, the longer we were saved, and God filled us with the Holy Ghost, we became
very good.
And right after God said it was very good, Genesis 3, chapter 1 said, and the serpent,
mm-hmm.
who was more subtle than all the beasts in the field.
Right.
Amen. That's one of the tactics that he's used from the beginning. His subtlety, amen, going under the radar, navigating a course that cannot be detected. So the scripture says he's more subtle than all the beasts in the field, and he went up to the woman, and he says, that the woman said, he said, now, can't you freely eat of all the fruit that's in the garden? She said, oh no, we can eat of every fruit that's fresh from the tree that's in the midst. He said, we can't touch that, because in the day that we eat of that fruit, we shall surely
die.
But then he flew on with the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells, he said, oh, no, no, that's not what God meant. Well, what did God say? He said, no, they eat there, they're going to what?
Die.
But then, in his subtlety, his influence, amen, she was not aware that he was deceiving her. So it says that then he uses his subtlety, his craftiness, his stealth, his ability to go undetected to deceive the first woman. And as a result of her deception, mankind, as a result of Adam willingly going against God, was sold into spiritual slavery. Amen. The Bible says, after Adam ate, death passed on from Adam to Moses. Even after those that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Amen. So the whole human race was sold into spiritual bondage because of the subtlety of the devil. Amen. And that brings us to where we are tonight. We want to deal with being able to detect what the devil was doing, the influences that are subtle. These subtle influences leave a huge impact on our lives. Amen.
Amen.
So, verse 1 reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in
Christ Jesus.
A lot of people say, well, I don't have no condemnation. That's if you're in
Christ Jesus.
Who walk not after the
flesh,
but after the Spirit. What the devil was able to do to Eve to get her to be deceived in the garden, she was not walking by the Spirit, but she was walking by the lust of the eyes. Amen. So he was able to appeal to her flesh. His tactics have not changed, saints of God. He still tries to fly under the radar by appealing to our flesh. And then let's get down just a little further, because we need to get on with this. It says, verse 6 reads, for to be carnally minded is
death,
but to be spiritually minded is
life and peace.
And peace.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I don't have no peace to be spiritually minded. If not only life, but it's also
peace.
Amen. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is what?
Enmity against
God. Amen. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, and what?
Neither can be.
So then they that are in the flesh,
not please God.
Well, the devil knows this. So he fights, he battles, he makes us struggle, amen, so that we cannot get in the Spirit, but to stay in the flesh. Because as long as we're in the flesh and we're fighting a carnal battle, we cannot
please God.
Hello? We cannot
please God.
Galatians 5:7 said, ye did
not
well. He said, but who did hinder you that you should not obey
the truth?
The truth. Because not only does the truth set us free, the truth will make us free. This persuasion cometh not of him that calls you, for a little leaveneth the whole lump. This I say then, walk in the
Spirit,
and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go to the next slide, please. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Subtle influence. Now we're going to deal with subtle influence, and we're going to go slow. Amen. Because we need to know the enemy that we're fighting. Once again, he goes below the radar. He goes below our detection. What does the devil do? The devil likes to make the church just relax. And in our spiritual relaxation, he comes in. Mm-hmm. Subtle influences are influences that enter into our
subconscious mind.
Can we say subconscious mind?
Subconscious mind.
Alright, that's heavy, y'all. Alright, that's all. You know, the more you put in church, the more you get out of it.
Sir.
It enters into our subconscious mind and are so subtle and
gradual
that they control us, just like a puppet on a string. Amen. These subtle influences manipulate us into acting out our conscious behavior and responses without becoming apparent until they are
well
established. These are the subtle influences. He's working, he's manipulating, he's pulling all these strings behind the scene. Amen, and we're not aware of it. Then all of a sudden, situations become monsters. They become well established. Amen. A lot of this is from the teaching of Bishop D.T. Haywood. Amen. And he was one of the forefathers of the apostolic movement. So he knew what he was talking about. These subtle forces become an unconscious but deep-rooted and ingrained. You know, you ever feel the law of what happened? Amen. How did I allow myself to reach such a point? And we struggle, we fight to overcome it. But these subtle influences, they're not just deep-rooted, but they get ingrained. Amen. We fight, we struggle to try and get it out. But we'll find out a little later, when the devil plays it in, it's hard to get it out. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
These deep-rooted, ingrained personality present themselves as a, can we say stronghold?
Stronghold.
Special glasses. Does anybody have problems seeing the screen? All right. And a stronghold. A stronghold is a fortified means of reasoning and thinking which strengthens itself and
bitterly.
You know, you ever try to help somebody, you say, wow, I'm doing everything to help you. Can't you see it? And they fight you. They battle. Strongholds. Things that bind. Things that just won't let you be free. You know, I read the story of Ted Bundy. Who knows who Ted Bundy was?
Amen.
All right. Ted Bundy was one of the worst mass killers, one of the worst in American history. He actually raped and murdered over 28 women over, I think, a 3-year period of time. What happened to Ted Bundy when he was 12 or 13 years old? And, you know, Dr. James Dobson did an interview of him the day before his execution because he was executed. But he did this interview. And he asked him, what happened? He grew up in a Christian home, God-fearing parents. But when he was at the age of 12 or 13, he found a book that he didn't think had much influence. It was one of those pornographic books. He said in the beginning, you know, him and all the friends looked at it, but then he got engrossed in it. He got to the point that it became engraved in him. It was deep-rooted and ingrained in his personality. And when anything is deep-rooted and ingrained, it seeks expression. He said, as a result of this, and then he said he knew it was wrong, he tried to get away from it, but the more he tried to get away from it, the more he got involved in it. To the point that he began to just kill and figure out ways to deceive. 28 women he killed. He said, you know, I can't blame it on anybody else. He said this was a stronghold. I could not have a victim mentality and blame it on anyone else. He said it was all as a result of what I permitted into my spirit. Those are the subtle influences. At 12 or 13, he had no idea that by dabbing and dibbling and dibbling and dabbing in something that would have that kind of impact on him, that he would kill and murder and hide and bury 28 women. That's how the devil is. He teases us to get involved with stuff. Until that stuff not only becomes us, but it drives us. So it's a deep-rooted and ingrained personality which defined us. Amen. It says, without wavering, when someone is in that position, even though they don't like it, they will defend themselves bitterly without wavering against all who attempt to show him or her that they are living in error. It's carnal reasoning or having a victim's mentality. I might guess because of what they've done and because of what this has done. No, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And then if we continue reading in Romans chapter 8, it goes on to say that if God be for you, if God is on his side, who then can be but a stronghold? You will defend yourself even against God. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare, thank God that I don't have to fight my own battles. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we don't have to fight our own battles?
Hallelujah.
The weapons of our warfare are not
hard.
But I like this, for they are
mighty
through God to the pulling down
those
strongholds. You cannot overcome the strongholds. There are personality traits in all of us that we don't like. You can't overcome it by willpower. You can only overcome it by going through Christ. The strongholds are offensive and yet arrogant. You know, you ever try to have somebody else, brother, sister, saint, you know that's hurting you. Yeah, but I'm going to overcome this already. They're steeped in it. It's ingrained in it. And they're arrogant. Well, I'll overcome it in time. I'll overcome it someday. That's arrogance. We need to just let go and what? Let God. So it said, offensive, arrogant, and very. That's what a stronghold is. It's offensive. It's arrogant and very destructive. So these subtle influences are working on us. Amen. And it's below the radar, so we do not detect it. Amen. It says the greatest characteristic of these strongholds are that they are thoughts that are full of pride. And the number one indicator that it's a stronghold is they exalt themselves even
against the knowledge of God.
That's a dangerous stronghold. When we get to a point that we know we're wrong, and we're so full of pride and arrogance, we refuse to change. And when we get to that position, they say, you're exalting yourself against the knowledge of God. That's a stronghold. I know the way I'm going is destructive. I know it doesn't please God, but I can't break this deep-rooted, entrenched, and ingrained personality or behavior, even though I know I'm going against God. That's a serious stronghold. Amen? He goes on to say that, and refuse to yield even in the obedience of Christ. That's a stronghold. I'm wrong. I'm doing it wrong. You know, all of us got some little stuff we don't like about us, right? Anybody got some little stuff? Okay, I know I got some little stuff.
Amen.
Amen. I don't like myself that much. So all of us got some little stuff. But down on the cover, there's some other stuff. Amen. Nobody knows but us and God. That's a stronghold. You know, they like to use this stuff, generational curse, like you pick up stuff you picked up. that generational curse doesn't work too well in Christ. Because I heard Paul say that when we're in Christ, we are a new creature.
Amen.
And those generational things have.
That's the way.
Hallelujah.
So we're not the same. But also, life to use those subtle influences to make us exalt ourselves against the knowledge of Christ. Well, the number one indicator that we're going against Christ is when we refuse to yield in obedience to Christ. You cannot obey Christ and be disobedient at the same time. You cannot be obedient and yet what? Obedient at the same time. But that's what the devil likes to do. Fly below the radar. Somebody said, if you don't speed up, you're going to fly number two. You got 15 more to go. Amen. So I got to speed up. What is the stronghold when we yield to Christ? Why is that? We will be able to cast down our imagination. And everything that exalts itself
against the knowledge of God.
Against the knowledge of Christ. And bring into captivity some of our thoughts.
Every thought.
Just a few thoughts.
Every thought.
And then when we purpose it, I want to be saved. Lord, whatever it takes. There's some things that I don't like, I don't want to do. But if it takes, if I have to do it to be obedient to Christ, I will bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Only the power of God and the blood of Jesus can break
these strongholds.
Amen. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is sin. Almost all things in the law, the Bible says, are purged by. In other words, we become clean through the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Even after we get saved, our sins won't be remitted, but God will cover our sin in His blood. But you can't get that sin covered if we don't come to Christ. The what? Obedience of Christ. Man is God's masterpiece. Man is the unique threefold creation of God, consisting of body, soul, and spirit. Spirit is the earthly nature of man, apart from the divine influence. And 1 Thessalonians 5 says that, at the end it says, we preserve us, body, soul, and spirit, blameless to the coming of Christ. Let's keep going. Not because other creation has the distinction of being threefold in creation except man. This is why the psalmist states that man is
fearfully and
wonderfully. God created us fearfully and wonderfully. Yes. Psalm 139. Animals are the twofold creation of God in the sense that they have a spirit and a body, but not a soul. Therefore, they are governed and controlled solely by their
nature.
But for us, it's different. We are not to be governed by our nature, because our nature has been passed down from Adam. If we're governed by that nature is what? Sinful. Because we inherited the Adamic or sinful nature from Adam. So we are not like animals. Amen. We're not governed by our nature. That's what the Bible talks about being a brute beast. It means that you're not being governed by God's spirit, but by your nature. For instance, a dog acts like a dog. Has the spirit of a what? Dog. And a lion and so forth. So we conclude that the spirit of the creation is synonymous or harmonious with the nature of the creation. Therefore, cross-gendering or cross-breeding must be the result of learned behavior or scientific manipulation called hybridization. The greatest example of crossing of genders of nature is the homosexual and lesbian lifestyle. Now, it's been said, well, you know, they're people, you just gotta tolerate them or put up with them. We don't hate the people, but we do hate the sin. Even in the church, and this is one of the things that Bishop Hayes was going over with people over in Georgia, he said there's a spirit, amen, it's a subtle influence that's even creeping into the church. Amen. So, same-sex marriages? Absolutely not. Amen. We'll explain a little more long. Let's keep going. It says the greatest example is a homosexual and lesbian lifestyle. Not unless we choose to refute the inerrancy of the scripture, for God teaches that the spirit of man makes him act like a
man.
And the spirit of woman makes her act like
a woman.
Go ahead to the next one. You can read that. That's in Romans where it talks about. We'll go ahead. Let's go to Romans 1:28. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their
knowledge,
God gave them over to a
reprobate
mind to do the things which are not
convenient.
It's not natural. God classifies homosexual, lesbian, lesbian. It's not normal. It's abnormal. Amen? So do we accept it? No. Why can't we accept it? Because we like to retain God in our
knowledge.
Well, these are the subtle influences today. Well, you got to tolerate. No. We make a stand for God. We're not just going to go out and be on a protest against it. But when it comes to right, we stand for right. When it comes to wrong, we can retain God in our
knowledge.
Amen? Medical science confirms the scripture and the fact that a man and a woman's nature are completely
unique
and what?
Different.
You know, people say, well, when I was born this way, but then I changed. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Using DNA testing, medical science has concluded among humans that two X chromosomes make a
woman.
All right, y'all hear me? It's a whole lot of y'all. Two X chromosomes makes a
woman.
A woman, and an X and a Y chromosome makes
a man.
A man. So somebody said, well, I was born this way, but then later I changed. You didn't change. Now you were X and you were XY. You didn't get mixed up later. That's something that you acquired through your own teachings and learning. Therefore, for those who claim to be confused concerning their sex and who they are, we can simply turn to medical science to determine what God has already recorded in His Word, that a man has a male's
DNA
and spirit. Amen. The man has a male DNA. In other words, if you were born XY, you're going to die.
XY.
If you were born XX, you're going to die.
XX.
So if they can't figure out what they are, just do the DNA. It ain't hard to figure it out, is it? If they said, well, your DNA say you're XX, you're woman.
Mm-hmm.
If it's XY, I don't care what you put on and all that other stuff, your DNA is what God makes you.
Mm-hmm.
That's your nature.
Right.
Amen. And the only way that nation can change is when you don't retain God in your knowledge. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Alright, so the only way for a man to act like a woman and vice versa is that they no longer retain God in their knowledge, and they have been given over to a
reprobate.
Paul clearly says in Romans 1:28 that God rejects them because they refuse to reverence and
obey
Him, and the end result is that they will do the things that are contrary to nature or innate spirit which they were born with. Paul said they will do the things that are not convenient. Convenient means it goes against nature. It's against nature. Amen. I didn't say it, but I believe God. I'm just going to say what the Bible said. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He said it's against nature for a woman to be with a woman. And it's against nature for a man to be with a man.
That's right.
Paul said it's not convenient. He said the only way that you can even have that type of personality is you don't have God. Amen?
Amen?
So we're not bashing, we're just saying what God says.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Because God's word is true.
Yeah.
That this completely refutes Christians accepting and tolerating this type of unnatural behavior. Unless the Christian chooses to no longer retain God in their knowledge while accepting what is contrary to Him, flying below the radar. Subtle influences. Amen. We don't hate the people, but we don't have to tolerate the sin. We should make a stand for God. The Word of God teaches that any type of inordinate affection will bring about the wrath of God upon the guilty party. In Romans, Colossians 3, 5, and 6, well, it says, mortify the members of your body which is upon the earth. And he goes on to inordinate affection. 3, 6 says, if you do these things, this is what the Bible says. Is the Bible right?
Amen.
Do we believe the Bible is true?
Amen.
Where it says, if you do these things, for which things sake, the what? Wrath of God cometh upon the children of
disobedience.
God's word is true. Why do you think that it is recorded in biblical history that God rained down from heaven on the ungodly Canaanite cities? We learned about Canaanites, amen, from ministry, evangelist, evangelist, minister, all that. She's a PA, though. She's got to get it right. But we learned, she told us about the Canaanites, how ungodly they were. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah was part of the Canaanite society. The Bible said God rained down fire from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities that were in the plain because of what? Homosexuality.
That's right.
And today they got to learn to have a homosexual church. Well, if they got a homosexual church, we know who's a God then. It's not our God. Because he just said that he's going to execute judgment upon all those that are disobedient. Amen. So we know that it's not after God. That the wrath of God will come upon them. So if they have a church, we know it's not God. We must understand and consider that the only visible part of man which is visible to man is the what?
Body.
Nothing like man has ever been created and ever will be created. This is in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 26. It says, God has made one blood of nation of man for to dwell where?
On the earth.
Made of one blood man for to dwell where?
The face of the earth.
So they can go to Mars and Jupiter all they want. Mm-hmm. All they have to do is read the book.
Right.
And the book said it made to dwell what? How many bloods?
One blood.
Amen. So that's, you know, there's some things in Bible, the Bible's really clear. If you read in Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about Isaiah said God sits upon the circle of the earth. What are they trying to figure out if it's square or round for? If it's a circle, it's what?
Round.
Hello? If it's a circle, it's what?
Round.
So they wasted all this time trying to figure out stuff that's in the Bible. Millions of dollars, just believe God's word. He said, we must understand and consider that the only visible part of man is visible is the body. Next verse. All of mankind's actions and behavior, this is what we're getting into, what affects us. We build all that to build up to the fact that God's word is true.
Mm-hmm.
And we must be aware of the what kind of influences?
Subtle.
If it's a subtle influence, that means it's not
evident.
Amen. We don't see how we're being set up or being lulled into a false sense of spiritual security. All mankind's actions and behavior will be influenced by one of either we will be influenced by the Spirit of God for good or by the Spirit of the devil for
evil.
There is no
in between.
These are the only two spirits that exist in the world, and all of mankind's actions are the byproduct of either the Spirit of God or the Spirit of
the devil.
Now, the devil wants to say, well, you know, none of us are perfect. How many of you know we're not perfect?
Amen.
All right, so I'm not perfect. I just say what I'm not. Amen. The only perfect ones, God has shown me a little while later. You ain't too perfect either, but I just go ahead and confess because I don't need him to show me. Amen. We're not perfect, so you can't expect me to do this. No, we don't expect you to do the right thing, but when you do the wrong thing, the good thing is to make it right.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So we're not perfect, but in our mistakes, we ought to make it right. Some talk influence and say, well, I'm me, and you just gotta accept me for who I am, and then I'm not you, I'm not the elder this, and I'm not sister so-and-so. If it's wrong, you still need to make it
right.
The answer's right. Can we say right?
Right.
You gotta make it right.
Amen.
Because God is the God of good.
Yes, he is.
When you make it right, you do it God's way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
It said, these are the only two spirits that exist in the world, and all mankind's actions are the byproduct of the mind, the spirit of God, and the spirit of the devil. Our actions and reactions are the result of the
influence
of the spirit of God or the
devil.
But they manifest themselves in many different forms. Mm-hmm. You can read Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 to 24. It talks about walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh, and what are the manifestations of walking in the flesh. The flesh is the sinful nature of a spirit of man, and he knows mere human nature. The earthly nature of man is born from divine influence. That's what walking in the flesh is, the earthly nature apart from God's divine. Well, I'm so glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Because then I got a divine influence. Amen. And even when I make a mistake and go wrong, I can hear God calling my name.
Amen.
And even in the midst of me messing up, I have a mind to make it right.
Amen.
But when I'm walking in the flesh, I can be dead wrong and still be strong in my wrong. That's my God. Amen. That's that subtle influence. All right, you can read Ephesians 2, 1. It says, you have you people who were dead in what? Trespasses and sins. When in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the what?
Spirit.
That now worketh in the what?
Children of disobedience.
So when we choose to disobey God, what spirit is working in us?
The
spirit of the devil. Amen. So we do not want to be in a position where we're fighting against God. We want to yield to God. That disobedience is the spirit of the devil. And it goes on to say, among whom we also had our conversation in time past in the lust that flesh is destroying. That's why we need to pray. So we have prayer. Amen. The Bible said, But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Doing what?
Praying.
In the Holy Ghost. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue
edifies himself.
Now the flip side of not praying is then we're not yielding to the Spirit. So when we're not yielding to the Spirit, then we are listening to the spirit of disobedience, who is?
The devil.
Can I get some help?
Amen.
Amen. It's the devil. We cannot serve two masters or two spirits. We cannot serve God and the devil. Jesus clearly taught this principle of not serving two masters in the Sermon on the Mount. He taught that we will hold to one and
I feel that.
Sometimes in our spiritual quandaries, who are we really holding on to? Amen. When we know we're wrong, what side do we hold on to? We know that we act in a way that God is not glorified. Who are we holding on to? What is our master? What is driving us? What is governing us? What is directing our steps? Is it the Spirit of God? Is it the Spirit? You cannot serve what?
Two masters.
Amen. And this is he talks about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your
heart be also.
Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is?
The eye.
Now remember that. The light of the body is?
The eye.
Amen. Mm-hmm. If therefore thine eye be
evil,
then your whole body is?
Full of light.
Lord, I need a single eye. Because I need my body to be full of light. Amen. Because the light of the body is the eye. And this is very important. We'll go a little later. But if thine eye be, the whole body is full of
darkness.
If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Finally, he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot discern God and time flies when you're having fun. Jesus was wanting us to guard our hearts, and which is our soul. Amen. Against the influences which we receive into it through the environment, especially through the medium of
perception.
Amen. And you can read Proverbs chapter 4 through 23, but verse 23 said, keep thy heart with all
diligence.
You got to guard it. You got to protect the heart. Why? Why do I have to protect my heart? Because out of the heart are what?
Issues of life.
All, not just the issues, but all the issues of life. So whatever you allow to come into it will eventually play itself out. So Jesus said that you cannot serve two masters. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So now guard your heart. Well, how do I guard my heart? Through the perception of what I allow in. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, we can't be church holy all the time. Yeah, but you do not have to allow ungodly evil influences in. Because whatever is in the heart, we're going to find out, will automatically play itself out. According to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, man was formed out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostril the breath of life. Can anybody read past me? Alright, and man became a what?
Living soul.
But he did not become a living soul to receive the what? Breath of life, which is the Spirit of God. We know and understand from the scripture that it takes the union of the body and spirit to produce
the soul.
The soul is never separated from the body as long as the body has
breath of life.
The breath of life or the spirit of life. We know that the soul is the what?
Seat
of our affections. Remember, our soul is the seat of our affection. Amen. Whatever we receive leaves an impact on our souls. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all help
me. Amen.
The soul can be referred to as the subconscious realm of human
activity.
Now, anybody that has Bishop G.T. Hayward's writings have seen this. Amen. But it says the soul can be referred to as the subconscious realm of human
activity.
In other words, we will act without really being aware of what we're doing because it's left an impression on our what?
Subconscious.
Amen? The soul can be referred to, in this subconscious realm are acquired routine, habitual patterns, behaviors, beliefs, and thoughts, which shape our personalities and characters and actions. In other words, whatever we allow into our subconscious is what makes us us. Amen?
Amen.
Our personal conduct is triggered into activity by our corresponding stimuli. Simply put, on our soul is impressed the desires, our affections gathered by the spirit through the mental realm, and afterwards put into action. That's what happened to Ted Bundy. All of that stuff he received through his spirit into his soul. And eventually it seeks expression through the body. The soul is to the body as cassettes, DVDs, and CDs are to what are
burned on them.
This is from, I believe you know these songs, but I know he knows. Amen. Whatever we burn on the CD is what plays. Amen. And a lot of you, I don't know, who's some of the good singers that y'all sing? Who's some of those songs that y'all sing? I don't know who's singing.
Israel.
Okay, Israel. You can't put Israel on it and expect Kirk Franklin to play.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You understand that, right?
Amen.
You can't put Israel on, you can't burn it on that record and expect to hear Kirk Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Mighty Clouds of Joy. In other words, whatever you burn on it is what's going to play. Now, when you play that, you don't have to think, you don't have to figure out anything because that's what's on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been burned on it. So automatically, what's been burned on it is going to play when you put it into action. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, whatever is burned or printed on them will be played out without any thought of
consciously.
Subtle influences. Whatever we allow in, we'll let into what you say way out. By the body, whatever our spirit is inundated with on a continuous and routine basis will see expression through the action of our bodies. For instance, if the spirit of man began to reach out for ungodly and sensual things, these evil impressions stamp themselves upon our souls, thus resulting in ungodly and sensual conduct. And you read Galatians 5:19 through 21 and on. The end result is that ungodly and wicked works and conduct will express themselves through our body because of what has been engraved on the soul. Whatever we entertain, whatever we allow, is leaving a burning, an imprint, an impression on our soul. That will eventually see expression. And it's been stated and observed by the church and non-church world, we become a product of our most prevailing environment. So whatever we allow to be played into our spirits will eventually play itself out in our words and deeds, which makes our conduct our behavior. And we will have no control over it because the dominating or controlling mechanism would be the subconscious imprints of the unconscious mind. So we allow all of this stuff to come in, and then we say, what wrong with me? What do you allow to be impressed on our souls? We must consider that the soul is constantly referred to in the scripture as the heart. You can read these later. We go over there. Keep going. Because I got to get to the rest. Can you, what slide is that? What number is that? Seven? Only seven? Oh. Tracy must have been singing like an hour again. Alright. Of particular importance, we must consider, must take notice to the fact that whenever the scripture makes reference to the condition of the heart in an evil way, there's always connection made to the what?
Spirit.
So whenever it's evil, it's made to connection to the spirit of man. Read Genesis chapter 6, 3, Psalm 51, 10, Jeremiah 7, 23 through 24. Let me read Jeremiah 7, 23 through 24 because it's pretty important. But this thing I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your
God.
I need some glasses. Can you make that big? Obey my voice, God said, I will be your what?
God.
I will be your God, and ye shall be
my people.
And walk ye in all the ways. Did they give us an exceptionary clause that we can make and choose? God said, walk what?
All the ways.
Can we say all the ways?
All the ways.
That I have commanded you, that it may be well with you, but they hearken not, nor but walk in the counsel and the imagination of their whatever you play in, we'll play it with itself out. And when backwards,
not forward.
Not forward. Whenever we refuse to submit and yield to God, we cannot go forward. But we will always go
backwards.
It's in the Word of God. And the reference scriptures are 2 Corinthians 10:4, you know, the weapons of warfare are not carnal. And go to the next one. This is all of Jeremiah. The whole meaning of the matter is that we were born into sin and shaped by iniquity. Two are the main tools that the devil uses to get the advantage over us and deceive us into being influenced by his deceptive spirits, which are the subtle influences, is opposition to obeying the Spirit of God, is what?
Entertainment
and when it comes to entertainment and relationships, we tend to turn off
spiritual radar.
Can we say spiritual radar?
Spiritual radar.
I'm trying to go fast. You don't make it hard. You don't have to, because I think I'm losing y'all, so I can come back again. Amen. So he uses entertainment and relationship, our companionship. We turn off
spiritual radar.
And when we turn it off, then the devil Amen. I'm not going to go a whole lot longer. I'm not going to go to 15. I'm going to cut it short in a minute. So don't get weary yet. When it comes to entertainment and relationship, we tend to turn off our spiritual radars and let our guards down, resulting into opening ourselves to the ungodly influences of
evil spirits.
These evil spirits etch engravings and impressions on our soul. You know, it's happened to me in the past. I said, wow, why did I say it? Why did I do that? Some of the things that we expose ourselves to etch in our souls. When it's in there, eventually it's going to bring itself out. So that's why the Bible says, guard. We're supposed to keep our hearts with all diligence. That means set a watchtower around your heart. Don't let anything in under any circumstance. I'm going to speed up for real now. These evil spirits, go to the next one. All right, we'll get the message of that. Now we're going to address a few ways that old school foot the devil likes to try and sneak under our spiritual radar. Now, y'all, can y'all help me with these answers? I can't answer. Amen. So I need, can everybody help me? Do we need to go up, get up, do a couple of jumping jacks? All right. We're going to go real fast. All right. It says, how many of you would turn your ear to someone rambling on and on? Yeah. Rambling on and spewing out a bunch of repeated profanities in your home without politely excusing them through the front door? Who would let that happen? Right? We're not. Hello? Amen. Would any of us let that happen? Not if we're saved. Not if you're on God's side. Amen?
Amen.
Would you permit a visitor or friend to perform suggestive sexual acts in your home before you and your children without stopping them and showing them the front door? The answer is what?
No.
You wouldn't allow it. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you all have to think about these two things too much. All right, we're going to have to meditate on this too much. I hope. Come on, some of this stuff you got to be like spontaneous. Like, before you get happy, amen. Or would you women, all right, may y'all guess this, women. Would you women, I know my role, I see it already. Would you allow a female friend to enter your home and be around your husband and sons in some thin clad lingerie? A piece of skimpy skin gripping material called a swimsuit?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Would you all allow that?
No.
Hello?
No.
Amen. Nobody's going to allow that. Man, I know I'm going to get some loud answers here. Would you allow a male friend around your wife and daughters with only a pair of skin tight revealing briefs?
No.
Absolutely not, right? Come on, this is ungodly. This doesn't even take. Come on, we don't have to think about this, amen. How about allowing a friend or relative into your home and permitting them to jokingly take the name of our God in vain, and though it is some kind of a copy, without rebuking them in Jesus' name and giving them the royal godly dude out the door?
All right.
You're not going to allow that, right?
Amen.
At least we're all on the same page. And if you're not on the page, just don't raise your hand. Yeah, man. You keep that between you and God. But I pray that so far we're all on the same page. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Would you turn a blind eye to someone drinking alcohol in your home and then offer it to you, your spouse, and your children?
No.
That's weak.
No.
Absolutely not. Solomon said, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is
not one.
Proverbs 20, verse 1. Said, that means don't drink alcohol. That's what it means. Amen. So don't allow it. If you didn't know before, now you know. And if you want to know even the true essence of meaning of drinking, just read the last part of Proverbs chapter 23. It gives you the whole thing, how the eyes are red, the stuff is bubbling, and how you make bad decisions. That means don't drink. In case you didn't know. Would you permit someone to perform a seance, voodoo, or without attempting to cast them and those demons out of your house? I'm sure that all of us would be appalled and downright righteously indignant if anyone tried to dishonor our family and home with such filth and ungodliness. Yet, this type of subtle influence impacts the life of a godly man till God actually opened his eyes, sort of like he did the prophet Hail. Let's read his testimony concerning how he's subjected himself to such an ungodly. Anybody know about the stranger?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to read about the stranger. This is the testimony, and don't be ahead of me. Stay with me, you cheaters. Don't try to get to the mess. Don't try to get to the root of the message. Read. I started going to be a thing in this school a little other time because I know everybody. Most of y'all don't like to read the book. Y'all like to go to the end. You find out how it ends. But I want y'all to read the book. Amen?
All right.
The stranger subtly influenced my house, was his testimony. He said, a few months before I was born, my dad met a stranger who was new to our small Tennessee town. From the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. Who knows this? You cheaters. I'm giving you my permission.
They're in my group, spiritual group.
Your silver. Okay. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around to welcome me into the world a few months later. As I grew up, I never questioned his place in our family. Mom taught me to love the word of God. Dad taught me to obey it. That's how it should be, amen?
Amen.
But the stranger was our storyteller. He could weave the most fascinating tales. All right, who's disobedient? Who's going way down to the other lines here? All right, stay with me. He could hold our whole family spellbound for hours each evening. He was like a friend to the whole family. He took Dad, Bill, and me to our first Major League Baseball game. He was always encouraging us to see the movies and even made arrangements to introduce us to several movie stars. The stranger was an incessant talker. Dad didn't seem to mind, but sometimes, nothing like having a godly mom, Mom would quietly get up while the rest of us were enthralled with one of his stories of faraway places and go to her room, read her Bible, and pray. Somebody said, I'm glad I got a praying mother and a praying mom.
Amen.
I'm glad I got a praying mother and a
mother.
Amen. I know my mom prayed over us. Amen. I wonder now if she ever prayed that the stranger would leave. You see, my dad ruled our house with certain moral convictions, but some kind of way, don't know how. I know I'm adding, but that's what preachers do. You gotta make it more interesting. Some kind of way. I just don't know how. The stranger never felt an obligation to honor them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our house. Not from us, from our friends, and then we just gave it away. All adults. Our longtime visitor, however, used occasional four-letter words that burned my ears and made Dad squirm. To my knowledge, the stranger was never confronted. Now, we already said, don't say a lot of this stuff earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hate cheaters. I should have highlighted that. You cheaters are going to the end of the book. You're not supposed to know whether you win or lose yet. You're supposed to see the story. He said, my dad was a
teeter-totter,
whatever that is, who didn't permit alcohol in his home,
teeter-totter,
not even for cooking. But the stranger felt he needed exposure and enlighten us up the other ways of life. He offered us beer and other alcoholic beverages often. He made cigarettes look talk freely, too much, too freely about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I was getting so quiet up in here. Did everybody leave? is sufficient for our soul. You want to be clean, you won't do it by willpower. We got to come to Jesus. The true cry of a genuinely convicted soul unto the sorrow is, oh, wretched man that I am. Who, hallelujah, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? To overcome the negative influence of evil influences in ourselves and home, we and those of our house must delight in the law of God after the inward man. The devil is so shrewd in trying to get us to delight in everything but God's word and his law. Paul said, I will delight in the law of God after the inward man. The fulfillment of us overcoming the ungodly and evil subtle influences that have been so dominant in our lives will be exemplified when we can shout without embarrassment from the very depths of our soul. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thank God,
yes,
through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me
the victory.
You don't get victory outside of Jesus. Amen. I don't care what kind of psychoanalysis or what kind of counseling you get. You don't get victory outside of Jesus. This is why Paul cried out, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. This type of conviction should enthusiastically radiate from our soul, knowing that God has redeemed us. Lord, I'm so glad. We will be exemplified when we can shout out with embarrassment subtle influences. As the ministers come forward, the subtle influences are the things that go below the radar. Now, before we read the man's testimony, we asked some questions. Now, after we read his testimony, let's still answer those questions. The most important thing that we can do in this life is to submit ourselves to God. When we honor the Lord by keeping all of his law and all his commandments, amen, the scripture lets us know plainly that we will be God's people and he will be our God. But when we're in disobedience to God, when we allow our passion, our lust, to dominate us more than God, whatever is in, eventually will play itself out. And you will find yourself as ungodly, amen, in some embarrassing situations because we're refusing to yield to God. Tonight, let's overcome.